Well, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Great to have you on. What did you think of Ted Cruz last night?
Well, you know, certainly it was a risky maneuver. I don't think there's any question about that. But, you know, I think that, yeah, you don't go in and do something pretty wild, really. I mean, you really think about the idea of to go in and at the convention. The whole idea of a convention is to get everybody on the same page and moving forward. To go in and do that and to refuse to endorse. And then, you know, this morning he's been giving interviews saying, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. The guy maligned my wife and the guy maligned my dad, and it was personal to me. And so therefore I really didn't feel like as a man of honor I could go up there and endorse. And I think there's an element of truth to that, but you know, there's also an element of truth that one of the reasons he could do that is even though not a lot of them might have been in that hall last night, there are a lot of Republicans who do not like that Donald Trump is the nominee for the president. I think Cruz not only is speaking for them, but I think pretty obviously trying to set himself up for 2020. And you know what his bet is, he thinks that Trump will not only lose, he thinks Trump will lose big. And I think that's what he's betting on. He thinks that this is a Trump is like a black swan, one-time event where, and once he gets into general election, he'll get crushed. And I think Cruz, who is a political animal more than anything else, it's funny, he was he gave an interview recently talking about how, like, I don't agree with Barack Obama on anything, but we both understand smart politics and the way to do things and the way to run a campaign, and that's not what Trump's doing. So I think just as a political animal, he's offended by how kind of slipshod the Trump campaign is, and he was offended by the things he said about his wife and his dad. And so he put himself in a position to, if Trump does lose as badly as he thinks he's going to be set up for 2020. But it's a risk. There's no question there's a risk because, you know, the other side of this is, you know, I mean, there's a lot. The whole idea, Republicans are supposed to be, no matter what. What's the old Ronald Reagan line? First rule of politics is to speak no ill of another Republican. He certainly did that last night. And if Trump, never mind if Trump wins, but even if Trump like comes close and this is a close race, I think some people will even maybe blame Cruz if he falls a little short. So it was quite a risk, and I got to tell you, it was something to see. It was exciting. It was a really exciting thing. We've seen all this stuff with Melania and the plagiarism, and people and Rudy Giuliani yelling and all this kind of weird sideshow stuff. This was a legitimate political moment. Like, this was about politics, about disagreement, and it was thrilling. It was a pretty exciting thing to get to be there for.
Yeah, that was my next question, Will. You're there. You're in Cleveland. You saw it firsthand. What did you see? What did you hear while it became clear that Cruz wasn't going to endorse Trump, and then afterwards?
Yeah, it was. It's definitely not something you expect to see from a convention, to see boos, unless you're booing someone that's not in the hall. So, yeah, it was. You know, you could see it brewing. You know, Cruz orchestrated this in a lot of ways, not just with last night. You know, of course, he had shown his script to Trump, but he had also, you know, he'd been very mysterious about what he was going to say and had not openly said whether he was going to endorse or not. And even in the language of the speech, those little moments that seemed to creep up to endorsement but then pull back, like he really kind of enjoyed kind of like playing with the yarn with a cat. I'm playing with a string with a cat. He really enjoyed like playing with the audience a little bit. So I think that's what built up to that moment, because it seemed like so many times, you know, Cruz, whatever your thoughts about the guy, he is incredibly intelligent and he loves politics and he thinks so much about this. In a way, it's really the opposite of the of Trump. And, you know, Trump is just kind of doing this by the seat of his pants. You've seen with just how disorganized this convention has been, the idea that you know, never minding the Melania thing, but, you know, Joni Ernst, who is the senator from Iowa, is, you know, she is basically the future of the Republican Party, someone they really want in prime time. She supports Trump, totally the person they want to showcase. He has problems with women, and they mess up the timing of the speeches, and she didn't go until after the networks moved, and no one really saw her speech, and everyone was out of the arena. So there's just, it's been very disorganized. Cruz is a guy that obsesses over details, much in a very similar way, frankly, than Obama and Clinton. They are much more political animals. Trump, part of his appeal is that he doesn't really do that kind of stuff. He just kind of like throws it all together and see what happens. I think you've seen the limitations of that approach, and I think that also led to Cruz doing what he did. But I think you saw in the hall the reaction. The people that are here at the convention, it's worth remembering there are a ton of Republicans, and not just politicians. Like, obviously, the Bushes aren't here. Mitt Romney isn't here. John Kasich isn't here. But even a lot of, like, long-time beloved, love the Republican Party people did not come to this this campaign. So the people that are here at this convention are Trump supporters. So he had to know this was going to happen. But I think really he was speaking to people outside the hall. And, you know, you see someone like Rubio, who I think was in a similar position as Cruz, but kind of gave this video, this kind of like safe, careful video saying, I support Trump and see you guys. That was 90 seconds and I'm gone. For Cruz to go out and really like lay his stake down, whatever your thoughts about the guy, it's certainly a more bold move than I think we've seen from really any other Republican politician.
Here's where I disagree with you, because to me, you know, if Cruz is the opposite of Donald Trump, this made him seem very similar in that, you know, Trump is accused of being petty. I think it made Cruz look petty. It's one thing to be true to your conscience and not endorse a guy. It's another to accept, you know, a speaking platform at the convention, and I don't know what was vetted, you know, what he submitted as what he was going to say, but to not endorse a guy and then to sort of take shots in sort of a circuitous way, to me it said it was all about Cruz, and I think it will backfire on him, and I think even people in the Republican Party that aren't Trump supporters will hold that against him.
I think certainly there is an argument that that argument has been made, the idea that if you accept the spot, you should endorse or you shouldn't accept the spot. That said, this speech was, in fact, vetted. You know, the Bloomberg Politics was circulated this exact speech before he actually made it, which means if we saw it, obviously the Trump campaign saw it. So to me, that is another thing that makes you a little worried about the Trump campaign. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that seems pretty baffling to me that you would allow him to make this speech. Every line he said was in that transcript. Like, the Trump campaign saw it, Trump saw it, Paul Manafort, the campaign manager for the Trump campaign, saw it. They all saw it and still went ahead and let him talk. And, you know, and I think that, I think that Cruz may have hit certain lines a little harder than maybe Trump would have liked him to. I don't think there's any question of that. But the idea that the Trump campaign was just completely taken out of left field by this, I think it's surprising. Now, of course, I think it's probably not right. Now, that said, there's also a school of thought that the Trump campaign was doing a little jujitsu of his own, and they knew. They're like, oh, sure, go ahead and say this. And then they kind of go to the New York delegation and said, when he gets going on this, start booing and making him look like an idiot. And I think that's also a very real possibility. I can see that. But to me, you know, that is, it just speaks to the general problem with this convention for Trump, which is, there's no real unity of message. There's no real consistent thing being put out. If almost only message of this whole campaign has been, this whole convention has been, Hillary Clinton stinks. We don't like Hillary Clinton. And listen, if that is, you know, there are obviously lots of people that don't like Hillary Clinton. I think you will whip those people into being inspired to go vote against Hillary Clinton. The question is that's not really the problem. Trump already had those people. What Trump really needs to do, and I think tonight's speech is incredibly key to this, he needs to get out there and say, all right, I know you think it's strange that I'm the president, I'm the candidate. I know this is unusual. I know you have some questions about me. Allow me to alleviate those concerns. That's what Melania Trump's speech was supposed to be about. The best speech of the week has really been Donald Trump Jr.'s speech. That was, without question, the best speech because it humanized, it spoke to conservative values. That was the best speech of the week. But there just haven't been enough of those. They've been kind of like, it's all just kind of like railing and lock her up and lock her up and all this stuff. And I think it's hard to argue that if there's anyone, never mind just someone sitting on the fence, but someone that wonders whether is that one doesn't like Hillary Clinton and is a Republican, but is generally concerned by the kind of tone that's crept into the campaign because of Donald Trump, this convention has not done much to alleviate those concerns.
I thought Mike Pence was pretty good last night. You think he helps Trump's cause at all?
I thought he was terrific last night, but no one's talking about Mike Pence this morning. That is, of course, another part of the problem. Is, you know, the whole point of last night, Pence was great. Like, he was exactly the contrast that Trump needed, in that Trump is this bombastic East Coast guy with, you know, who's been married a few times and has all these kids, and Pence is like, I'm really boring. I'm from Indiana. I'm just a regular guy, and it worked very well. Pence is a very good speaker. He speaks very well to the conservative base, so they like him from that. The problem is that speech went past prime time, and there's no question that once they allowed Cruz to do that, and Cruz, again, being a smart guy, knew that this was going to step all over Pence. And I think that's another reason I think people might be frustrated with Cruz this morning, and I think with good reason. But, you know, I mean, this is, again, speaks to how kind of slipshod the Trump campaign has been to allow, like, this is the, you know, these 4 days is a free infomercial for Donald Trump and the Republican Party. The next week, the Democrats are going to have theirs. But this is 4 weeks where all everybody's talking about at this convention. It's nothing but a way for them to sell themselves. Getting the vice president out there to have his big nomination speech and really kind of nail it, that's what last night was supposed to be about. But the minute they allowed Cruz to do that, and to even go out there and step on that, they were asking for this to happen. So that's the problem. But, yeah, I agree. I thought Pence was terrific last night and could have – what the Trump campaign really needs right now is for everything to just kind of calm down and it look like just a regular, normal political party. And if you don't like Hillary Clinton, here's a good alternative. And the problem is if you are – I think even if – I think the issue now is it just kind of looks like they don't have their ducks in a row. And it speaks to generally their lack of a ground game. And like in a lot of states, they just don't have volunteers. Like if you call – I think yesterday someone tried to call the Trump campaign headquarters in North Carolina, which is a key swing state, and there was nobody in the office and nobody doing anything. The Clinton campaign has had people on the ground in North Carolina for 4 years. So I think that speaks to what people's concerns are about the campaign, and I don't think Trump has alleviated them here.
Will Leach is with us. He's live from the Republican National Convention. He is in Cleveland on the appliances counter. Phone lines covering the convention for Bloomberg Politics. A story that I think is rather large, but because there have been so many other bizarre storylines over the last 72 hours, it's not getting that much attention, but it's what's going on with John Kasich in the Trump campaign. Kasich's people telling CNN that he was offered not only the position of vice president, but he was offered to be the most powerful vice president in history, in charge of all domestic and foreign policy in a Trump White House. Donald Trump Jr. was one of the people that, according to the Kasich people, was in talks with Kasich's top advisor, John Weaver. And Donald Trump Jr. said, you know the way I conduct myself. Do you really believe I would say John Kasich is in charge of foreign and domestic policy and Donald Trump will focus on making America great again? What am I, a meathead? what's going on up there with Kasich? Of course, you're in his home state and the Trump campaign.
I mean, it's noteworthy that, I mean, Kasich's not here. I mean, he's in Cleveland, but he's not in the arena. And that is obviously highly unusual, but the idea that the Republican governor of the state is hosting the convention is not appearing at the convention, I think, speaks pretty broadly to the discomfort that he has with Donald Trump. And, you know, listen, I think that can get a little overstated. It's not like John Kasich did not run this incredible campaign for president. Like he was like whatever your thoughts about Ted Cruz won a lot of states. He had a lot of support. John Kasich ran for a long time, but he never really had like a ton of votes. So I think it speaks less about the power of Kasich and more just about the general unease that a lot of mainstream Republicans and established Republicans have with Trump, which again is of course a large part of Trump's appeal. A lot of the people that really like Trump like him because he kind of bucks the system and like him because he doesn't play he's not part of the Bush family and he doesn't really support those guys. But yeah, that was from a Robert Draper piece in the New York Times that Donald Trump Jr. piece, the idea that Kasich would be running domestic and foreign policy, which is kind of a crazy thought. The idea like it almost makes it look like Trump is like the king and his vice president would be like his prime minister almost. It's like almost a European in a certain way. So I have to say, all told, you sometimes wonder if that's actually what Trump wants. Like, Trump would rather just be the guy that is the one that everybody likes and puts in charge and then let the other details be held up by other people. So the problem with that story is whether it's true or not. And listen, Robert Draper is one of the best reporters in American history. So this is not a guy that has a history of getting things wrong or making things up. But more to the point, it sounds true. Like it sounds like the type of thing. Like the reason, one of the main reasons that Trump is winning is Trump is willing to, you know, Trump is fungible. You know, he's a flexible guy. You know, and one of his appeals is that people don't really seem to mind that much. And that's why he's always felt like he had defied gravity in this campaign. He can kind of say whatever he wants and change his mind, even within the same sentence, and no one seems to mind. In a way, and that's one of the reasons he's become so popular, because he just rides that wave in a little bit. And I think one of the reasons people are concerned, particularly a lot of Republicans, is it seems like he doesn't have a handle on a lot of the issues. But to have someone like Kasich, who's a very smart guy, be that vice president and just take care of that stuff while Trump does, you know, president-type stuff, it feels true. It feels like the type of thing that would be true. I think that's hurt him, but I don't think it's like so much Kasich sowing discord. I think Kasich, like the Bushes, like Romney, and now, as we see, like Cruz, he just doesn't want any part of Donald. I think their general thought is that Donald Trump is the leader of the Republican Party. It's not really their party anymore. And I think, obviously, we've seen with a number of people that are here, a lot of people disagree with that idea. But I think we'll find out in the next few months. That's the bet that Cruz made last night, and we'll find out in the next few months who's right.
Well, I think it's safe to say you're a left-leaning guy, a Democrat, so I want to just get your perspective on it.
For what it's worth, I don't know if I would necessarily agree.
Okay,
that,
all right.
But, then, but go ahead.
All right. If you disagree, then I apologize. But I'm just curious about your take, because I think you're a very, very smart guy. Does Donald have a shot, and is there a possibility that Trump, with all his warts, and I'm not trying to say he doesn't have a lot of them, is it possible that he could end up, if he gets elected, being a decent president? So it's a twofold question.
There's no question that he has a chance to win. I mean, there are two people on earth, whatever your thoughts about Jill Stein or Gary Johnson. I think Gary Johnson, the libertarian candidate, you're seeing a lot of Gary Johnson stuff around here. I think that he's one of the more legitimate libertarian candidates we've had in a while. But there's no question Trump has a chance. You know, I think that the statistical breakdowns have come down to right now, heading into the convention, he was about, the lowest he was like 24% to win. Now he's up to about 33%, which is, you know, basically, Matt Holliday getting on base. You know, I mean, that's not that crazy. That's not that crazy of an idea. So there's no question he has a chance to win. Whether he has a chance to be a decent president, I think that, you know, there are smart people that will be there to assist him if he becomes president. It's not like the Republican Party is complete. Like, Republican Party has lots of smart people in it, and they have lots of good policy ideas that they think. The question is whether he would listen to them. And I think that the fear about Trump is not that he has these really strong beliefs that people disagree with. It's that people honestly don't know what he's going to do. His policy prescriptions are kind of confusing. They tend to be kind of off the cuff a little bit. I think that, more than anything, it's not like the Bushes and Kasich and those guys are fighting Trump because they just disagree with him on a lot of stuff. They have some disagreements, but it's more just they don't really understand. They don't know if he has the temperament. They don't know if he understands policy well enough to be the president. Now, there are a lot of people that think that would be a very good thing about Donald Trump, there needs to be less getting in the weeds on policy, and needs to be less like getting caught up in that stuff. And you need someone that more from kind of a gut level. And I think that's certainly his appeal. I think that the question with Trump, if he were to be elected, is how much would he trust in people who have been around foreign affairs and government policies for a long time? How much trust would he put in them? And how much would he just kind of go with his team of people who don't have a lot of experience in this regard? I think that's really the question. But yeah, I don't think first off, there's no question that he has a chance to win. I think that there's just no question about it. I mean, there's he's a Republican nominee for president. There's no question he has a chance to win. As to whether he'd be a good president, I think that that's something for if you think that the system is incorrigibly corrupt and absolutely has to be overturned, and there is no way to fix it except someone that just comes in and blows it all up, you should absolutely vote for Donald Trump. And there are a lot of people that feel that way.
Some of what you're describing about his style is similar to the Reagan model, where you have somebody going around doing presidential things and surround yourself with the smartest people you can. And I'm not sure a lot of presidents don't do that. The job is way too big for one guy to know everything about everything that's going on in the world.
If I may say something before you, I think there's something to be said for that, and I'm a major advocate of that. But I think what's transpired with the campaign, and in particular the last 72 hours, why not surround yourself with the smartest people to operate your campaign? And I would say that what we're seeing in Cleveland is indicative that he has not.
Yeah, and, you know, I think a difference between Reagan and Trump. Reagan, absolutely, he was not as hands-on as a Barack Obama or a Bill Clinton or George H.W. Bush, and even a George W. Bush in a lot of ways. He certainly was not hands-on in the way that those guys were. But he had very clear policy beliefs. Like, he had very, like, He believed in trickle down economics. You know, he had very strong beliefs therefore he said, "Hey, smart people, go forth out there and put my beliefs into action." That is, and I think that I agree with you. I think that I think that a lot of people believe that Obama has been too hands on and has been. It's kind of led to gridlock and led to a lot of things not being done. And the thing that he's been hammered on, I think, quite well this convention is the whole red line Syria comment and the leading from behind comment. A lot of people don't like that, and I think that's certainly a reasonable argument. And certainly when it comes to Reagan, I think, you know, we can argue about Reagan, but certainly he that leadership style, I think there's no question it has its appeal and it has its benefits. I think the question about Trump is, what is it actually leading from? Like Reagan said, here are my basic core conservative principles. Now, let me, follow orders. Go out and spread them out. But here is what I believe. And if you have any question about that, refer back to what I believe. The question with Trump is, he seems to have that leadership style, but not actually have a base core view of beliefs behind them. And I think that is what people have concerns about Trump when it comes to Reagan. But I agree. I don't think there's necessarily one leadership or management style that's been proven to be the effective one on either side. And I think that style can work. I just think the concern is whether or not he has the strong belief system behind him to sustain it.
Will Leach with us. He's at the Republican National Convention. He is in Cleveland. He is with Bloomberg Politics, Sports on Earth, co-founder of Deadspin. A final question for you, Will. What are you expecting this evening from Donald Trump when he addresses his convention?
It is funny for all the talk this week of all of Cruz and Melania and everything else. It's going to come down to Trump. You know, it's going to come down to it's a hard balancing act for anyone to stay on to the thing that's appealing to people about Trump, which is kind of this freewheeling nature and a willingness to just go to say whatever and to push the envelope and to not take any junk off of anybody. And then to still ease people's minds and say, hey, can you win this? Are you in control of your campaign? Can you actually go out and do this? And I think the idea, Trump's whole campaign strategy, such as it is rile up the base, get out your base voters. And, you know, all told, that's not the worst strategy. That's kind of how Obama won in 2012 is, you know, he stopped worrying about crossover undecided voters and just got the base out there. And I think that's how George W. Bush won in 2004. There is an argument to that. The problem for Trump is he doesn't necessarily have all that base on his side. So I think the goal tonight, a lot of people say he needs to win over undecided voters. I don't know if there are that many undecided voters left in the country. To be honest, we are a polarized country, whether it comes to politics or sports or music or anything. We are a segmented niche country. The idea that there's this group of people that be like, Hillary or Donald, well, let's listen to their policy proposals and see which one I decide. I think a lot of people already have their minds made up. The question is, can you rile those people to get up there and vote and get out there and get inspired? That, I think, has been Trump's bet all along. So I think this notion that he needs to go out tonight and say, listen, America, I'm a candidate for everyone. I can be good for all of you, and I'm a regular politician who can speak for everyone. I'm not sure that's the right strategy, and frankly, I'm not sure that's the one he's going to take. I think that, for better or worse, whatever your thoughts about the guy, you'll see the real Donald Trump tonight, and we'll find out in his bet. Listen, we can talk all we want about how the campaign, no one really understands how some of the decisions the campaigns are making. It seems kind of disorganized. He's here. He won the nomination, so obviously he must be doing something right. And so I would be surprised to see him suddenly tonight completely shift gears.
Will Leach with us live from Cleveland. Will, always appreciate the time, man. Great to get your perspective on it. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Will.
Of course. And go Cardinals, by the way, just to make sure I got that in there.
I like that. Ring the bell.
Now you're pandering to the base.
Doubleheader. There it is, Will Leach.